This episode is sponsored by Malibu. There's many lessons to be learned here on The Fundamental Guide to Life, but one lesson I've learned is that there's nothing better than listening to your favorite podcast while sipping on your favorite cocky tea. What do you know? I'm sipping on my favorite Malibu cocktail whilst recording your new favorite podcast, The Fundamental Guide to Life. So if you want to join me in a Gorgina cocky tea every week, check out at Malibu Rum UK on Instagram for gorgy recipes and lots of other fun stuff. Let the fun shine this winter with Hunsnet and Malibu. Over 18s only. Welcome, Delins, to another episode of The Fundamental Guide to Life. I have got a lot of Hun to cover on the podcast today, and joining me to share his Hunsight is Hollyoaks Hun, that's a lot of H's, Hunsight Hollyoaks Hun, Kieran Richardson. Hi, Kieran. How's life in Chester?
I'm really excited to be on this. I've been obsessed with Hunsnet for quite a while, so the fact that I'm on this now feels a bit, surreal. And I also feel like I'm connected to quite a lot of the Huns that feature on the page. I'm like, it's like a calling to me to be featured on this, I think.
Do you know what? I was looking actually on your Wikipedia page earlier on, and when you first went into Hollyoaks, it was 2007. Was that right? That's like 14 years ago now, right?
So my first ever day was starting in 2005 in the December, and then it was on screen in the 2006, and it was only supposed to be for 7 episodes, and then I think I'm going into, I think it's 17th, my 17th year now, so it's been a long time.
Well, that fits in really nicely with what we're doing on The Fundamental Guide to Life. We've actually got a book coming out, and what we've been doing in the book is charting like the peak area of Hun throughout the years. That's kind of like where all of the references come from, all of the throwbacks, all the things that we now laugh at all these years later, what year were they originally from? And like the core years, like 2004, 2005, 2006. So I really feel that your career at Hollyoaks started at the epicenter of Hun.
Right. When I first got this job, I just want to be meeting A-list celebrities. And don't get me wrong, I've been to Elton John's house and you kind of get a little bit starstruck. But for me, like the era of that time and going to nightclubs like China White, Funky Buddha, and Jade Goody was there. Then I was lay on a bed with Cheryl Ferguson, who was Heather Trott in EastEnders.
But you can't just throw that in. You and Heather Trott in a bed?
Yeah, so basically we used to get invited quite a lot to what was it called? The Embassy Club. Which Jade Goody was there all the time. And every time you went, there was always somebody that was on Big Brother or something like that. But to me, they were like iconic. They were my Elton Johns and Britney Spears. Like I was obsessed with that caliber of celebrity. And then this one night we was invited to this party. And I remember I was in Manchester with some of the cast at the time. And we were supposed to be in for filming the next morning at like 7:30 in the morning. And we'd got invited to this party, but it was too good to turn down. Like the cheeky girls were going to be there, all the people from EastEnders, and so we were like, let's just drive down there, go to the party, meet all these people, then we can drive all the way back to work. We drove all the way to London, parked as close as we could to the Embassy Club, and I just remember seeing all these in like my eyes, my idols. Oh my god, there's the cheeky girls. And then someone was like, oh, there's Heather from EastEnders. I went, oh my god, let's go talk to her. And then we was just on this, there's like a bed thing in the embassy upstairs, and I was lay on it, and she had her best friend with her, and she was saying, oh, I'll take her everywhere with me, and just having a drink. And then she knew who I was, and then it blew my mind that she knew who I was. And I think like she'd gone to drama school, or she knew somebody that played, so Steve and Amy used to go out with each other at the time, and her dad in Hollyoaks was a guy called Tony Hurst, and I think she'd gone to drama school with him, so we had like mutual friends that we could talk about. But I just remember that drive back to Liverpool in the early hours after spending this night at the Embassy Club being like, oh my god, I've met Heather from EastEnders. Like, iconic. I loved it.
Well, I mean, what a crossover. Hollyoaks, Heather, EastEnders in the Embassy Club. That is like
Hun culture nightclub story than that. My honeyest nightclub moment.
Well, then drop it on us. Let's go hard.
One of the first parties that I got invited to was at China White's, and it was Callum Best. He was hosting it, and there was this girl there who was dressed in a Playboy bunny outfit, who, in my opinion, was like, you got everyone in the nightclub, everyone's looking at Callum Best. I was looking at this girl in the Playboy bunny outfit thinking, oh my God, I'm obsessed with her. I love her. Anyone that was like going past her, she was just being crazy and wild and out there. Somebody spilled a drink on her and she had this full on epic meltdown. And then about 3 weeks later, I was watching Big Brother and Nikki Graham gets out of the car in the Playboy Bunny outfit. And I was like, oh my God, that's the girl that I met in China Whites the other week. She was crazy. And yeah, so what was the Nikki Graham that we saw on the telly was the girl that I'd met a few weeks previous in the same outfit with the same persona. You know, like some people change once they get on telly. She was exactly the same person that I'd met 3 weeks before, was the girl that went into the Big Brother house. Yeah. So I felt like I got to meet her before she was the Nikki Graham that we all know and love now.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, what a great place to share a Nikki Graham story where, you know, obviously with the news this year and she's no longer with us. I mean, she embodies everything from that time. And I think that, you know, all of the amazing moments that she gave us on Big Brother and everything like that, you know, we can... Total respect for Nikki. We love Nikki on Hunsnet and, of course, the podcast. So you've been to a few party-warties, and I think that there's more inside goss to come. I think a little bit later on. But something that we do with all of our guests here on the Fundamental Guide to Life is kind of see where you are on the Hun scale, all right, to see where you are. So well, I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios, and you can just let me know your thoughts, and then we'll see where you are on the Hun scale. So let's start. Okay. Is there a Hun motto that you live by? You know, the type of thing, you know, powered by bitch dust on your Ford Cortina or in the car. Or do you have like lots of live, love, laugh paraphernalia, or this house runs on Prosecco in your kitchen? Anything like that?
Hilarious. No. So well, I'd say one that I kind of live by, but I was told I met this girl years and years ago. She's one of my best friends now. I met her in a nightclub early hours in the morning. She had the classic tramp stamp, but I was like, oh, what does yours say? And she said, read it. So I read it and it says, can't be old and wise if never been young and crazy. To me, I kind of like that motto. You can't be old and wise if you've never been young and crazy. And she was young and crazy. And now, in my opinion, I would say she is old and wise. So it kind of works. Or you could go by Stephanie Davis, who I'm obsessed with. Hers is... YOLO, and she got it tattooed on her foot.
Have you got any questionable tattoos?
Yes. So when I was younger, before I came out, I had this girlfriend, and she was obsessed with tattoos. So I was like, I'm going to really impress her. I'm going to get a tattoo, and I'm going to look really manly. So I said, you can design it if you want. And you can take me there. So she designed it, and it was my name and date of birth. Classic 2003. And then, obviously I'd never had one before. So the guy who was doing the tattoo started with the numbers for the date of birth. And as he went to do the 6 at the end, I screamed. Uh-huh. So he said, that's going to have to be a 9 now. So I said, okay. And then I screamed some more as he did the rest. And instead of being born on the 12th of the 1st, 86, I ended up being born on the 12th of July, 89. Yeah. He still said Kieran though. So I got away with that one.
So you basically walking around with the wrong date of birth.
yeah, because I was thinking as well when I had it, I was like, do you know what, because I looked so young back then. I must look about 12 years old when I was 18. I was like, and I've got to use it as my ID. I'm not going to take my ID or passport out anyway, because I've got my ID tattooed on the back of my neck. But it was the wrong one anyway. I wouldn't have been old enough to get in nightclubs.
Oh my God, I can't believe this. So how long were you, is this still, do you still have it, or has it been removed, or has it been corrected or covered over? What's the story now?
I had a few drinks on Skegness Fun Fair and got it covered over by just some wings, just some weird wings. Yeah, just anything.
Just
to cover
some
it
wings.
Up. Yeah.
But do you know what made that even more hunnier is that you had it done in Skegness. Skegness has got to be like the epicenter punt. What are your connections to Skegness?
So I met this lovely lady years ago, and she lived in Skegness, and I met a family, and then I was just obsessed with it. I ended up doing panto there. Yeah, every time we go, we just end up going on the fair. So I got that one, and I got this one here. Another, it's like a tramp stamp. But do you know when I was like super, super skinny, and you know that bone that sticks out on your hip? I used to like hate it, and I was like, I'm going to make this more manly and more sexy. I'm going to get some wings tattooed around the bone. This is it. Are you ready to see this?
Oh,
yes.
I mean,
it's foul.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's it, 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 It looked, do you know what it looks like? It looks like you've just passed your wings. You know, like when the air hosts and hostesses and the cabin crew, they get their little wings when they've done their cabin crew training. Well, no, I think it's cool. I, not to leave you left outside alone there with your tattoo story. I think I've told this before on the podcast, but I've got two Japanese symbols here. And the first one I got I got it because it's the same one that Mel B's got on her stomach. So me and Mel B have the same tattoo. So I feel a real connection to Mel B and her tattoo. And then the second one was not done by the same artist. And the font isn't quite the same, but it just looks dodgy all the same. And do you know what? I was really thinking about, you know, should I get it covered up? But no, they're going to stay with me. And I'm going to tell this story about Mel B until the day I die. So there we are. Here's some scenarios for you, some Hun scenarios. So as the nights are cold, drawing in, it's gone freezing this week, and the Huns have to wrap up a bit for ice skating. Since you've been on Dancing on Ice as well, ice skating, would you skate hand in hand with a woolly bobbly hat with your significant other?
Yes, absolutely. With a bit of sparkle. I've skated with several Huns as well. Daniela Westbrook, she was a Hun. Emily Atak, she was on my series. I'd say she's a Hun as well. Heather Mills, is she a Hun?
Total Hun. Now, you know, on Hunsnet, we like to talk about UGG boots quite a lot. And we call them, you know, affectionately slag wellies. So as a male Hun, have you ever owned a pair of slag wellies, UGG boots?
Yeah, 2009, the brown pair, I had them.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't cave in at the sides.
They didn't collapse. You didn't have a collapse. And what length were they? Were they like ankle boots with the fur on, and or did they go up a little bit higher?
Just a bit higher than the ankle. Yeah, they were too much. They were too much. And those coats were, they were like woolly on the outside, but then the hood was like fleecy, like sheepy fleecy, and then the wool and with the brown UGG boots and... Yeah, it was too much. Yeah, too much.
What a look. I met Rylan for the first time a couple of weeks ago. We've been chatting for ages and we share a lot of each other's stuff. And he turned up in typical Rylan, like you wouldn't want him to turn up any other way. He turned up with knee-length UGG boots on. And it was one of the best things that I've ever seen. Knee-length slag wellies. So here we are. All right, let's talk about Hun Sense. Did you ever wear Lynx Africa? I did. Were you a Lynx Africa wearer?
I suppose I did actually in school. I remember all the girls were like, Charlie red, Charlie blue. And obviously I hung out with the girls a lot more than I did with the boys. And yeah, I mean, I wore Lynx Africa, but it wasn't my favourite. I probably did prefer the Charlie red smell that the girls had on. But yeah, I did actually wear Lynx Africa. And I used to put my all my school stuff in the drawstring bag, what you used to get your trainers in, because I didn't have a proper school bag.
Stunning.
And all the girls had the J Norman ones. Yeah.
And then yeah, the boys used to have
JJB. We had JJB. Yeah.
Or JJB.
RIP,
yeah.
JJB.
Do you know what? I actually think in Hemel Hempstead they've still got a JJB Sports. There's somewhere actually local to where I've been, and I've seen a JJ Sports, or they just haven't taken the sign down. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. Do you have a favorite reality TV moment that you think sums up Hun culture? You know, like for me, it's Lisa Scott Lee doing B-list at Capital and Toby Scott Lee is just like, that sums it up for me. Do you have any favourite reality TV moment that you think could sum up Hun culture?
It's a classic one to me, and it's one that kind of gets forgotten about. I always like the forgotten Huns that people forget about. So I'm going to go for, you know, everybody loved the original Reality Queen, which she's now had this like resurgence and won a BAFTA, which is Jane McDonald. But then if you go after the cruise, we went to the airports and we had airline. And mine is, you remember Katrina? She was the blonde, beautiful girl that worked on check-in. And then she got married and we followed the wedding journey. And then she had the terrible cancer diagnosis. And, you know, we was all petrified that we was going to lose her. And then she fought it. And there was this amazing, like, yeah, it was just like a beautiful story. And she was from Essex and everybody fell in love with her. And then it was like, well, where airline got scrapped, or then they stopped filming in that airport and we didn't see her anymore. So she's like my forgotten Hun. I hope that she's okay.
I tell you what, let's make it our life work this week on the episode to find out where she is. That I think you've established yourself as a total Hun. I'm loving some of the references here. Brilliant work. One thing we're also doing is mapping out a Hun timeline, as I mentioned earlier on. And we're asking, now this could be anything. can be anything to do with like reality TV. It could be an inanimate object. It could be a maxi dress. It could be a cork head wedge. It could be a hollybob to Tenerife. It could be anything. We are asking our guests to give us an example of something that they think should go on the Hun timeline. This could be Kinga and the wine bottle. It could be parachute trousers with the dangly bits on. Is there anything that you think throughout the years we need to put on this Hun timeline in the evolution of Hun culture?
I've got a Kinga story, which I'll tell you in a second. But on the timeline, I'm definitely going to put Von Dutch hats. There was a time when all the American pop stars had it on, and it was the shape of that hat as well, especially on Britney Spears' head, was just perfect. Then we all started getting them. And then I remember all the girls at the time, they were wearing, what was those t-shirts? Paul Frank t-shirts. There was a lot of those knocking about.
With the monkey,
I feel like
on.
They need to come back. I'm going to go for Von Dutch.
Von Dutch is total Hun. Now, I've got a confession to give you. We're recording now. Today's Monday. I bought a Von Dutch hat on Thursday last week. I went into Urban Outfitters and I was looking for, because I've got quite a big head, I don't know if you can see. I've got quite a big head and I was like, I need a Von Dutch styled hat from back in the day. And then I went into Urban Outfitters and I found a Von Dutch hat and I bought one on Thursday. But they're now 30 quid in Urban Outfitters. They've made a big comeback. And I tell you, when I first got into Von Dutch, it was when Katie and Peter were in the jungle, celebrity in the jungle. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. And I remember when Katie came out, she was in the Von Dutch hat. There was Paris Hilton. Michelle Heaton loved a Von Dutch. Von Dutch definitely is going to go
Victoria
on the timeline.
Victoria Beckham.
Tory Bex. I don't know whether you can remember, there was Von Dutch, which was obviously the actual thing, but then there was a spin-off, Von Bitch, and that was kind of like the market thing. Like, you know, you go down the market and there would be like a Von Dutch rip-off. But it was
a bit like that
Von
song.
Bitch.
Do you remember that song, Amen? Fuck what I said, it don't mean shit now. And then
said,
the Frankie had the Frankie version, the girl come back one. That's iconic.
That is iconic. They don't do that anymore. Do you remember like they used to do these like diss tracks and then somebody used to come back in with a real version, reply version? I think we should do that more.
Yeah, absolutely. You want me to tell you my Kinga story?
Let's go in for the Kinga story. Let me get a wine bottle. No, I'll leave it.
So basically, the lovely lady that I'm, let me tell you about the story, the lady that I met from Skegness. So basically, I'd got invited to this thing called Soap Star Superstar, and it was basically people from soaps that were singing in this TV studio, and it went on ITV, and there was somebody from Hollyoaks there at the time performing. So they invited some of the cast to go down. We watched the show, and then afterwards, it was filmed in Manchester at Granada, and then afterwards they sent people to all the different nightclubs and bars to go and celebrate. And then I ended up in this car with this one lady who was invited by somebody else. And when we got to the front door, the bouncers were like, "How old are you? You can't come in here." So I was like, "I'm 19, actually. Why can't you let me in?" And they went, "21, actually. So you're not coming in." So then this lady was next to me going, "Well, I'm not just going to leave you outside, left outside alone, on the streets. So I'll come back to the hotel with you." So I said, "Okay, then." So I got speaking to this lady who was called Janet, bit of an older lady. I was 19. She was probably about 40 odd, 50 at the time. And she looked after me all night long. Never forget her. Amazing lady. Couple of weeks later, I got invited to something else. I think it was an audience for Coronation Street or something like that. And I had a spare ticket and I thought, you know what? I'm going to take that lady and say thank you for looking after me for that night. I was this young little lad on the streets of Manchester and she looked after me. So I rang her up and I was like, "Listen, I'm going to take you to London, blah, 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 blah." Anyway, cut a long story short, we both went to London, ended up meeting loads of, in my eyes, like amazing celebrities, which were just reality people at the time, but I was like, they're gods to me. She made friends with them all, and then we stayed in London for a little bit messing about, and then we ended up getting an invite to somebody from Big Brother's birthday party. Happens to be Kinga. I'll go to that. Of course I will.
What?
Then this person that we met was like, "Well, we can't find a birthday cake. I don't suppose you could bring the birthday cake." Absolutely. Yeah, of course we will. So me and Janet, this woman that I met from Skegness, had gone to Costco and got one of those £15 cakes to say to the woman on the till, "Can you write happy birthday to Kinga on it for me?" So then she's like, "Is it Kinga, the wine bottle Kinga?" Like, with like sort of pride.
And this
going,
is all happening in Costco.
"That's the Kinga." in Glasgow. So then we get on the train with this cake saying Kinga, and I'm like going, I hope everyone reads it and sees that it's for Kinga. Anyway, we end up going to this party, and then we meet people. Like, do you remember Michelle Bass, Chicken Stew?
Oh God,
she was like
yes.
The girl from Big Brother that was from the Northeast, and she went out with Stuart. And she called him Chicken Stew, and they were there. But to me, in my eyes, they were Victoria Beckham and David Beckham. They were like up there, front cover of Heat magazine every single week. And I was like, Janet, we've made it. We're at King's birthday party, which now sounds ridiculous. But at the time, I was, loving my hun self, absolutely. I was this young, like 19-year-old boy that had just got on the telly that knew nothing about this industry. So we just turning, like they say, go into the opening of an envelope. I was like, I'll go to that. Absolutely. I want to meet this person. I want to meet the cheeky girls, like I said. So I just go to these things and not realize that sometimes you have to be a little bit selective. As I've got older, I've probably learned that. But then I think, no, like, why? You aren't too good for certain things. So I kind of feel like hopefully I've stuck to my guns a little bit. That's what I was saying at the start of this, that the A-list people, when you go to like the NTAs or stuff like that, and you've got like huge celebrities there. Yeah. Sometimes I always find it's the ones that, like, I'm only in Hollyoaks, you know what I mean? I don't think I'm not on the Z list, but I'm still near the bottom. And I find I get on with those type of celebrities, and I'm more in awe of those type of celebrities than I am with your Victoria Beckhams and your really A-list ones.
But I think, do you know what I think about it? And I think that leads nicely into this whole hun culture thing. You know, I'm approaching, a milestone birthday. Could be 40. And back in the day, I was really obsessed with like all of these celebrities because, like you say, they were everything. They were the first kind of celebrities that were in Heat magazine and everything like that. And what I love about hun culture now is that we're looking at it through a different lens. You know, I was lucky enough to go and see Steps a couple of times over the weekend, you know, and you're just looking at, and they're now in on the joke, you know, they're now, not the joke, but they're now in on it. And they know that, you know, we want this unapologetic unfilteredness from them. And that's what I love about it. And I think that the people who are sort of rising up in the, the royal hunness stakes are those who really sort of buy into it and really just give those candid moments to you know, on their Instagram pages for people like Hunsnet, you know, to just turn into just silly content for people to devour in a different way. So
yeah, and I work with a lot of actors and stuff, and they're like, oh, did you go to the theater last night, or did you watch this film? And I'm like, no, I watch reruns of Totally Scott Lee, and I'll just YouTube old documentaries. Yeah. Like, I found one the other day of Atomic Kitten, when I can't remember what it's called, but I just look on YouTube and I type in all these things and I find these random documentaries. There was one that followed Atomic Kitten around, which was amazing. Obviously, I've watched the Girls Aloud one so many times, and it's you see all the old fashion and stuff. And like I said, Victoria Beckham before that, to me, that scene in the Sainsbury's or Tesco's, whatever it was, when Michelle Heaton and her boyfriend, the Scott Lee brother, are shopping, and she's got sunglasses on inside with that long white skirt, and the old lady comes over going, are you Victoria Beckham? Yeah, incredible. Incredible.
I've made a meme out of that before, but it's been a while since it's been on the grid. I'm going to get that back. You've just reminded me. So you are soap royalty. And you've starred in Hollyoaks, Heartbeats, and you've played Prince Charming himself. Every week on the Fundamental Guide, we ask our guests to induct somebody as the royal hunness. So who you think absolutely encapsulates hun, who, you know, everybody can be, you know, the queen of huns in whoever's eyes they want to be. But who would you like to crown your ultimate royal hunness?
I want to say one of the usuals, like Lisa Scott Lee or Michelle Heaton or someone like that, or Jade Goody. Do you know who cracks me up as a hun, actually? And you don't see her anymore, but there was this time a couple of years ago. Do you remember Lisa Appleton? She used to put her bins out in just anything.
Oh,
she was in
with
Big
the sausage.
And she got engaged to Mario. And then all of a sudden, and we didn't hear of her for years and years and years. And then when Daily Mail started to become like a big thing, we just used to see Lisa Appleton putting her bins out. And I think, yeah, go on. Like, you've not been in Big Brother for like years and years and years, and now she's had this like resurgence. So I'd put her up there as a hun, just for the fashion alone. Lisa Scott Lee for the gifts and the comedy, genius.
Yeah.
I would also put up the, let's think about a forgotten girl band that we never talk about. Whatever happened to Clear? Do you remember Clear? Pop Stars, The Rivals, we had Girls Aloud, The Forgotten Girls,
Pop Stars, the
girls
Rivals.
That didn't get in. Yeah. So Javine did her own thing. She went solo and she did Eurovision. Then the other four girls, what was it? They were called Clear. So it was Chloe, Lindsay, Emma and Amy or something like that. I remember I used to work at the Trafford Centre in Manchester, which is this shopping centre. They switched on the Christmas lights, 2002 or something like that. So we couldn't get actual Girls Aloud. We ended up getting Clear, the knockoffs. Yeah, whatever happened to those?
Because it was the anniversary of Pop Stars The Rivals. They were talking about it, or the upcoming. And they did that whole thing on One True Voice, where they were and when what they were doing. I think one of them's an estate agent now. Can you imagine going in and buying a house and you were like a fan of like Pop Stars The Rivals back in the day and one of the lads from one, you know?
The other was another, there was a boy band called Fix as well that didn't make it. They didn't make it at that. And then in like a couple of years' time on X Factor, it was never the winners that made it anyway. It was all like One Direction. They didn't look amazing.
No.
So it was like Fix are the early 2000s One Direction. They could have had all access and they just didn't have it.
It just didn't happen. And do you know what I remember about Fix? There was Mikey, wasn't it? He was one of the lead singers and he had this like, I used to have hair back in the day, and it was literally like this big cockatoo, like VO5 wax sculpture. That kind of went down the back, right up over, you know, full Karen from finance here, you know, little bits feathered down the front. Alex Parks. Lovely. Where's she gone? Where did she go?
We all used to wear at the time, like jeans, where we cared about what the waistline was. We didn't care what length it was. It was just gather as much jean at the ankle with a vest on, with rosemary beads and a suit jacket. That was like the boy band look, and I used to dress like that as well.
Do you know what? It's so funny that you've mentioned this, because we've spoken about this on the podcast before with Electra Frentz from Drag Race, and one of her moments that she mentioned about was about wet denim at the bottom of the, like how wet denim and work shoes. It's fun. I mean, isn't that funny how specific is, that's what I love about Hun culture, about how it gets really specific.
Yeah, so all the wet, it gathers at the bottom and then you wear it that much that the heel wears away at the bottom and it's like just disgusting. Yeah.
Oh my God. Frayed and damp and smelly. And then if you didn't get a chance to wash the jean, there'd be like a tide mark around your ankle. But you didn't care because that's Hun. When was the last time, and I'm going to ask you, because I think that you might have done this back in the day, did you ever wear like shoes that you should only wear for work with jeans?
Yeah, there's like so many like soap award pictures, even in, so it's just disgusting. And then I'd wear them to other things with jeans and stuff. It's just, yeah, foul now when you look back at the pictures, but I'll never get over the, it's the gather at the bottom for me, the jean, yeah.
The gather. I tell you what, I've been rewatching Footballers' Wives recently because it's back on BritBox. This is not sponsored by BritBox.
And can I just tell you about Footballers' Wives? I know how much you love it, okay? And for me, being in Hollyoaks, and we've had most of the cast in it now.
I've shared the dressing room with Jason Turner.
Can I tell you, I shared the dressing room. Yes, I did. I was like, oh my God, your dream's come true. Gary Lucy, obviously, and then... I did Dance on Ice with him, and now he's gone back. Then we got, Susie Amy came into it. Tanya Turner was in it for ages, and she was in it when I got married. So I went, absolutely, I'm going to invite her to my wedding. She didn't turn up, like, but she got an invite. But she was like, just to stand with her and watch her work, to me, was that 16, 17-year-old boy that was obsessed with that show, being like, she's literally acting right in front of me right now. Like, yeah, there's been lots of pinch me moments from being in Hollyoaks and loving this Hun culture to have so many now connections with these people. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I got slapped off Kathy Beale. She was in EastEnders.
Jackie Pascoe
slapped me. Yeah. Yeah.
My specificness on Jackie Pascoe, I love the fact that Jackie literally talks the whole of Footballers' Wives like this. She's like talking like she's a builder for the whole of Footballers' Wives. And when we did the episode with Zoe Lucker and Susie Amy, one of my highlights was me acting out as Jackie Pascoe to Chardonnay. And I go to her, you look like you've gone lesbian. And she tells me as Jackie, she goes, oh, piss off, Jackie.
The husband, what did they get married? You know, the boyfriend that was the football coach. What's he called now? He was in the Spanish soap, El Dorado.
Oh, Roger Webb.
He was in Hollyoaks as well. And I think in...
Yeah.
He was doing a scene with Jackie Pascoe. I think Luke, not Luke, Gats, Gary Lucy, whatever his character was in football, he'd like punched his mum or something and she had this black eye. When you go back now and you watch that,
yeah,
the black eyes, it's like she's just done it herself with some eyeshadow and gone, there you go. Out there. Yeah, the makeup wasn't the best on it, but yeah, it was amazing.
Let's talk about something which you were one of the first people that I can remember coming out in the public eye and all like that. And I think that obviously really inspiring to people back in the day. When you look back at it now, you know, now hopefully it's a lot easier for everyone. It was a huge thing at the time.
Yeah, and my coming out story was kind of, it was horrendous at the time, I'm not going to lie, actually, because I knew I was gay. I told some select friends. I hadn't really told my family, and I was doing Dancing on Ice at the time. And each week I got through, the newspapers were more interested in my personal life. And then I got this phone call while I was with my mum, and it was on loudspeaker. Mm-hmm. And it said, the phone call went, "Hi, Kieran, it's such and such newspaper," which isn't here anymore anyway. "We have got three gay kiss and tell stories about you." Obviously, my mum sat with me, God. So I just went, "Ooh, we've not had this discussion yet." So I was kind of, that's how my mum found out. It's an awful, it shouldn't have happened like that.
No,
but
it's awful.
It did, and we spoke about it, and it was, my family thing was, it was fine, and she knew deep down anyway, and whatever, but I just didn't like being, my hand was forced in that way. And then because I was put in that situation, I know how many people I've been with, so I know the story's not true. They didn't have these kiss and tell things anyway. But then I was like putting my foot down, being like, I'm not going to be forced to sell my story to a newspaper. I remember the day Will Young did it, and I was on a school trip, and it was all over the newspapers, on the front of the newspaper. And I was thinking, weird why he has to do that anyway, obviously secretly knowing that I was gay. Little did I know that one day I'd end up being in the public eye myself and find myself in a similar situation. But I thought, I'm not doing it. I'm not going to, one, make money from it, because that's weird anyway. You wouldn't find a straight person going to a newspaper saying, "Give me this money and I'll tell you if I'm straight." Just doesn't happen. Then because of the way that it was put to me, and I was upset by that, I was really adamant I wasn't going to sell my story to the newspaper. So I didn't do it. Then the series finished and I got to the final anyway, and I made it on my own merit, just by talent, rather than trying to get more famous and selling stories to newspapers or whatever. Then we got a new producer in Hollyoaks, and he sat me down and said, "We would like to explore Steve's sexuality." And then I thought to myself, okay, this is going to happen again. I'm going to get interviews saying, "Can you relate to the character? Are you gay in real life?" And I don't want to lie. So I knew at this point I had to just say it. I'm gay, and my family knew now, and my friends knew. So it was only the Hollyoaks audience that didn't know, really. So then I thought, I can't do this newspaper thing. I just can't do this interview like that. And then I thought, sod it, I'm going to do it on telly. Then you don't get paid for that, for going on This Morning. That's, you do that for free. And nobody's done it like that. So from that boy that was so scared reading the Will Young story, and I'd saw Joe McKeldry, and thinking he was young at the time, younger than me, and he'd come out. I think he did it by newspaper, but whatever. And then I was like, right, well, I'm going to do it this way, and it's going to be so public that it's completely the opposite of what I thought I was going to do. And yeah, we arranged it through my works, through this amazing woman called Rachel Hardy, who was the head of Hollyoaks publicity at the time. Yeah, we did it with Holly and Phil, and I remember just being absolutely petrified and terrified, and it was the best thing that I ever did. I wish I could go back now and redo it, and I think I've tried to make a joke out of a few things, and I was a bit scared and nervous, like, as you are, but I wish I could go back now and just re-say a few things to show people that it is going to be okay, and it is just saying this thing that you've kept in you for so long that you think that the world's going to end as soon as you say I'm gay, and it hasn't. If anything, from that moment on, it enhanced my life, And now I'm married and I've got kids. And yeah. I didn't think, one of the reasons I didn't want to tell my mum originally was because I was the eldest son. And I thought, you know, she's never going to get grandkids by me because I'm gay. Or, you know, I've proved that scenario wrong. I've got twins and I'm happy with how it all turned out. I just wish my mum would have found out from me personally rather than this person on the phone from the newspaper.
That's a great story that came good in the end. And I think that your situation will have definitely, you know, and I'm sure you've heard this a load of times, helped lots of people. I think the one thing which I like about, you know, from seeing what you do now is you've turned that into sort of stamping out homophobia and obviously transphobia and everything. That's really inspiring. So can you tell us a bit about the work that you do now?
Yeah, I've worked with quite a few charities and I'm trying to get different documentaries off the ground to talk about LGBT, you know, issues, really. One of them being the first time I experienced homophobia was I've got the exact same name as a footballer. So he used to play for United. And then at the time, this Kieran Richardson moved to Aston Villa. So Sky Sports were, you know, promoting the fact that Kieran Richardson has left Man United and he's gone to Aston Villa. So on Sky Sports television, can I say, they put my picture instead of the real footballer Kieran Richardson's picture. So to these people watching it, they just thought that this gay guy from Hollyoaks has signed for Aston Villa, which is obviously crazy because I can't kick a ball to save my life. But then all this abuse that I got on Twitter was like, that faggot, he thinks he's going to play for us. And it was bag at this and puff that and this and that. And I was like, whoa, I'd never experienced this before. I'm only used to the Hollyoaks audience who are, you know, our show is so inclusive and the audience are amazing. And I never received any kind of homophobic comments or anything online from our audience. Then as soon as my name's associated with football, I'm now receiving all these messages, which to me was horrendous. So then, yeah, I started to work with some, you know, charities that deal with issues like this, and I've tried to get this documentary off the ground. Homophobia in football has kind of been stamped out a little bit. Maybe it hasn't, because we still don't have an openly gay Premiership footballer. Hopefully one day we will.
You know, a lot of our HunsNet people who consume our content, you know, are from the LGBTQIA plus community. And I think that, you know, hearing your story and the work and the work that you're carrying on doing will certainly resonate with those. You've made a really good point there. And I want to point out, I've actually got some followers who I interact with and I know quite well on the subject of a gay football team, an inclusive football team, and it's the London Falcons. So they are on Instagram and I know the boys from who run that team. And I think that'd be a good time. So if we have got any footballers in London.
Yeah, and just what we do or who we fall in love with doesn't determine our talents, whether that is kicking a football or acting or singing or whatever it is that you want to do, you know, be a builder. Or like, just because we share a bed with the same sex person doesn't mean we've got less of a talent at whatever our chosen field is than the next door neighbour.
Now, the thing I love about Hollyoaks and Soaps in general is, you know, to keep going for all of these years, they've got to have some really, really good storylines. And there has been some bonkers storylines on the soaps over the years. So have there been any plot lines on Hollyoaks that you thought, oh my God, that's never going to work, but it's turned out to be brilliant?
One of the most bonkers ones, it wasn't even my storyline, actually. So do you remember Carmel, played by Gemma Myrna? Carmel McQueen.
Yeah.
Comedy character, amazing. I remember she was reading a script once and she was like, oh my God, you never guess what happens next. I went, what? Tell me. She goes, Carmel sees Jesus in a potato. What? Carmel sees Jesus in a potato. So yeah, apparently like she was eating a dinner or something like that and she saw Jesus's face in a potato and has this epiphany. But then when they filmed it, there was this amazing shot where they had her like floating down a corridor. So they put her on this, we do this thing called track and dolly where the camera gets put on this like a pram basically and it gets wheeled along so it like floats. They strapped her to this dolly with a big backlight so she looked like an angel and was like floating down this corridor during this like dream epiphany thing. Sounded bonkers, but the audience loved it. It was, yeah, very funny.
Obviously, when you came into the show, you started off as a bad boy.
We were doing teenage domestic abuse. So Steve and Amy, they were two 15-year-olds, and she got pregnant really young. And then he'd had this really quite fraught upbringing with stepdad who used to beat his mum up. So then that was his reference to a relationship. So then whenever he thought Amy was out of line, then he would hit her. And there was quite a famous scene where she had like such long hair down to her bum and he cut it all off. And yeah, so he was horrible to start with. So I definitely didn't think I'd be in there for very long, because I thought, oh, the audience are going to hate him and there's no redemption for this character. And then cut to after Dancing on Ice, we brought in Emmett Scanlon, who played Brendan, the guy with the moustache. And then they were exploring Steve's sexuality and they said, the interesting thing is now we're going to make the abuser the victim and turn it on its head. So then we did same-sex domestic abuse.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's been some amazing storylines over the years that you've been involved with, and obviously with the subject matters really pioneering in the area as well. Which of the storylines that you've been involved with are you most proud of?
Most proud of, I liked the Steve and Brendan one, just because it's the one that people remember the most and the only one that I've actually won an award for. So I'm quite proud of that one. At the minute, I'm kind of liking, we're doing comedy now and I've never really done comedy before. So now I've been paired up with Sienna's character and she's like normally the baddie in it, and now they've put Steve and Sienna together and they've got this new cleaning company, Cleaning Empire. So I've constantly got marigolds on and feather duster.
Here on the Fundamental Guide to Life, we ask all of our guests what songs make them live, love and laugh. Now, these can be any songs at all. So let's start with Liv. So I'll picture the scene, Kieran. We're headed to the dog in the pond to have some cocky tea. So what track are you putting on with your huns to get revved up for a right good night out?
So let's think hunnish. I'm going to go for Rachel Stevens, Sweet Dreams, My LAX, which classic. When I was younger, when this came out, I didn't realise I didn't realise about LA and it being an X. I was thinking, what's she trying to spell? Like, L-A-X, L-A-X. I didn't get it at all. To me, it was a banger and I absolutely loved it. I'm surprised Rachel Stevens didn't have more success in a solo career, if I'm being honest.
Well, do you know what? She did have some bangers. Going back to your point about LAX, I thought when it came out that she was just doing like a goodnight message to the airport. Coming up on one of the future episodes, we don't have Rachel, but we do have a member of S Club. That I'm hoping that might be able to get us a little bit closer to the answer. So if I find out, then I'll let you know. And I'll also get in touch with the LA airport as well, just to check that she wasn't the voice over there. And one thing I like to do actually is revisit some of those performances where she's got all of the dancers on the red things, because I do think that routine for the time was absolutely iconic. So we've had your live track. So let's think about love. The lights are down low. You're at a candlelit dinner and you've got a dead sexy song playing. What mood, which gets you into the mood for love? So what song could that be?
Let's go hunnish again. Sean Paul and Blue Cantrell. This is off-piste because it's not like as slow as you would want it, but it gets you in the mood for, it's very sexual, I think, and like,
yeah, like grinding in the club. But Sean Paul, we've got to talk more about Sean Paul, because I think he is this ever-present hun in our lives. He's been around for ages, but just like collaborates with the right people at the right time. It's Christmas time, you're doing Panto and you need a soundtrack that will make you laugh your tinsel off. What is it?
Remember we used to go to Spain? Bit younger, we all used to do the dancing, whether it was Macarena, whatever it was, and then all of a sudden, Last Ketchup came on.
We got your Live, Love, Laugh tracks there. We're finishing off now with our Ag Honeyang. Now, Kieran, back in the day, did you ever read Ms. Magazine? Whether, obviously, you probably wouldn't have bought it yourself, but Ms. Magazine, Sugar, Bliss, and everything like that.
I read More. Yeah, More Magazine.
Now, obviously, looking back, those magazines were really, really toxic and not great for young girls, but they did have some corker problem pages in them. So what we've been doing on the Fundamental Guide to Life is, because we love nostalgia, we've been thumbing through some old magazines and we've found some vintage problems from the magazines. And what we're doing is we're asking our huns to give the hun advice that you would give rather than the advice they were giving back in the day. This is a problem that we found in Ms. Magazine. Dear Ms., I really fancy a lad that goes to my local skate park. Vintage. The problem is I can't chat to him. I can't skate and really want to, but don't want to fall over in front of him. How can I get up close to try? I don't have a skateboard, so can't practice. Wannabe skater, Birmingham.
This is a genuine dilemma. Okay, she could get an electric scooter, play a bit of LSL, Lisa Scottley, gotta go electric, and just whiz past, get his attention that way. She's, you know, using electric to save the world, blah, blah, blah. And to talk, what could she say to talk to him? Whip out her Jane Norman bag and say, those were the days.
I love it. Well, here is some of what our hun said to us, okay? So we put this out. This is what the hun said. At Sally Squiggle said, have you tried doing the slut drop, hun? Do you think that would work? I think a slut drop is an all commanding move. If you do a slut drop with someone, they're going to take notice, yeah? Somebody else said, this was Duffy8219, said, he is a boy and she is a girl. Can I make it any more obvious? Showing off with the lush skater boy, Avril Lavigne vintage lyrics there. Or Rebecca One said, she's got some more practical advice. She would stick some sunny towels in your shoes and you won't come off the skateboard then, hun. Practical. I don't know how that would work. And then Rebecca Keeney says, get your Fisher Price roller skates on and get down those ramps, hun. We think they'd look dead sexy. So I think the moral of the story is don't go to the huns for skating advice. Kieran, thank you so much for joining us today on The Fundamental Guide to Life. It's been great having you on. Thanks for sharing your nostalgic anecdotes. There's been some classic Hun moments in there. Please tell everybody where they can find you, what's coming up for Kieran over the next couple of months, where they can find you on your socials so that they can get involved more.
So at Mr. Kieran Richardson on Instagram, at TikTok now and again. I see all the memes, that's all I'm saying. And I'm going to leave you this little nugget. But my advice for the girl on the skate park that's whinging about being afraid to go up to him, what we're going to say, my advice to you, love, would be probably stop whinging.
And I tell you what, that's great advice to finish on. Stop whinging. That's it from The Fundamental Guide to Life. This episode, don't forget, you can get your fix of our Gorgina picks and more tracks to pop your pussy to with some Prosexy. So follow the Hunsnet profile on Spotify, where we'll dump all of the songs. And of course, don't forget to subscribe and follow this podcast. Oh yeah, and rate and review 5 stars. Thank you.
Insanity Group.
If you love Hunsnet and you love brunch and you've not checked out Hunsnet's Hun Brunch, then you're missing out, honey. Join us at least once a month in London and up and down the country for drag dallions, gorgy cocky teas, competitions, prizes, exclusive merch giveaways, and wall-to-wall Huns. So whether it's a birthday celebration, hen party, girly catch-up, or actually, for any reason whatsoever, get on the Nokia 3310 to the girly whirlies and get yourselves to Hun Brunch immediately, if not sooner. Tickets exclusively available on Dice.